This is another episode of Connecting the Dots podcast. I'm Skip Stewart, Vice President and Chief Improvement Officer for Baptist Memorial Healthcare.
Hey, everybody. I'm H.F. Mason. I'm a general surgeon and Chief Medical Officer at Baptist Memorial Hospital DeSoto and Chief Quality Officer for the Baptist System.
Well, today I'm really excited. I have a friend, and I even joke sometimes that he's one of my many bosses. Sean Barker is the Assistant Executive Director at the Shingo Institute. And one of the things that we're going to talk about today is go and observe. Now, many of our audience will be familiar with the word Gemba, that Japanese word that means actual place where value-creating work actually occurs. But one of the things I so enjoy as a Shingo examiner is that we have this term, go and observe, that's incorporated in all of the Shingo Institute workshops. And it's something that Sean has thought about deeply. But before we get into talking about going and observing, Sean, if you would, tell us a little bit about yourself, about your role at the Shingo Institute, and then let's talk about go and observe.
Yeah, thanks, Skip, and thanks for having me. This is a real privilege and honor to be able to be on this and just talk for a little bit about what we mean. At the Shingo Institute, I have many roles, actually. I work with the curriculum that we develop, so all the workshops that we develop. I also work with all the organizations that challenge for the prize, and not only those that challenge, but also some organizations that are interested in using the model and the guidelines and all of that to deepen their understanding and their journey with operational excellence. So I work with those organizations as well, and just happy to be here to share our experiences.
Sean, once again, thank you for being here. We at Baptist, I think it'd be safe to say that we are greatly indebted to the Shingo Institute. As a matter of fact, our Baptist Management System, which is our improvement system, is heavily, heavily based on the Shingo model. Skip is an examiner. Many of our team members have gone through several of some of your workshops, the Discover Excellence workshop, the systems design, and those are just really great workshops. And for any of our listeners out there, if you ever have a chance to do these workshops, it's well worth it. But today we are going to talk about going and observing. And, you know, when we approach improvement, a lot of times the people who are responsible for driving that improvement sometimes they take a command and control attitude toward that and dictate actions and things without truly understanding what's really happening where the work is done. And I think this was in, you know, U.S. manufacturing for years and years and years. Tell us a little bit about the change that occurred with that practice.
Yeah, so that's a really interesting observation, because it's, you know, my prior experience before working with the Institute, I was in operations and retail operations, running a large organization with several hundred people. And you know, you can fall into that role really easy. It's almost natural for us to fall into that. Not only that, we get trained a lot that way. If you look at how we get trained in our schooling and those type of things, we're supposed to have the answers, right? We feel like when we get hired, we're supposed to have those answers. Now, interestingly enough, when we talk about go and observe, we talk about three different levels that we're looking at, right? We're looking at executives or leaders, we're looking at managers, and we're looking at team members, because we're looking for those behaviors. So when we're looking for behaviors, well, who exhibits most of the behaviors in any organization? It's usually team members by sheer default, because we have more team members than anybody else. But you are correct in that you know, there's a climate that comes from leadership and that is flowing down through the organization. And that's why we have to look at all three levels, say, what is it that leadership is wanting and directing people toward doing? What is it that managers are busy building? And those are usually the systems, right, that they're busy building to drive those behaviors. And what's actually happening with our team members down on the where the work is actually happening, right? So that's why it's so important. And Ritsuo Shingo, who I went on many, many tours with and worked with us here at the Institute, doing those tours and many other things, he always used to say, you know, it's important to be down where things are actually happening, right? And when you go on tours with him, I mean, he would sit there and talk to you about the things that he's seeing and those behaviors that he's seeing. And it makes a difference to be able to recognize those. You know, we talk in a lot of our workshops about going out. Every workshop has a component of going out to the shop floor to see what's happening. And part of that is being able to talk to each level, each layer, and see how that comes down. Is leadership really getting what they're wanting down at the team level? And if not, then why not? What are the systems that are preventing that from happening? And how can we change those at the management level? So it did shift, and one of the shifts that we looked at heavily, when I'd be remiss not to mention Randy Cook and Bob Miller and Jake Raymer and I, when we were working on this model, one of the things that was happening was that organizations were having a very difficult time sustaining improvement activities, keeping those activities going and keeping them going at not only the same pace, but it should happen that they start working at a even more rapid pace, because you learn more. And as you learn more, you get better and better at what you do, right? So that's when that change really started to happen and started to move away from, no, we can't command and control this. Right. We've got to build systems that allow people to be engaged, and they do this because they want to do it, because it changes their work life, maybe their home lives too, right? If they take it home with them, but it makes it easier and better for them to do the work and do it well. So yeah, it has changed.
So Sean, let me jump in here and ask you this. You know, I know that you have been on assessments for the Shingo Institute literally all across the world, probably more outside the United States. But, and I know that you even was part of a group that assessed one of our facilities years ago at Baptist, and we learned so much from that. In healthcare, it's very normal for people to go out and do nurse leader rounding, or executives will do walking around. And I think the intentions of everyone that does that are always good, but sometimes it may not be as impactful as it could be. It could be just kind of what I call a howdy walk, you know. But as you've went across the world, and, you know, what are you looking for? Because we know in the model, we talk about how systems drive behavior. And when we have the right ideal behaviors, the model shows us that we're going to have these ideal results. So based on your years of experience in all different industries, healthcare, non-healthcare, what are you looking for when you get out there at the Gemba and you're going and observing? Talk to us about some of the things that you're looking for.
Yeah, so you're looking for some of the things that you're looking for when you're going out there. And I will get specific into some examples, but you're looking for what people are actually doing, right? So let's give an example of that, right? On a walk around with a leader, if a leader, and I've seen this happen, that's why I'm giving this example, right? But if you're walking around with a leader And the leader all of a sudden says, oh, hang on just a second. I need to go over to talk to this person. And you watch what they do. And they go over and they talk to that person. They say, hey, Frank, you know, I just wanted to say happy birthday. You know, hope you're having a good one. Hope you get to go home and spend some time with your kids. And they mention the kids' names have a great celebration. I mean, that's a behavior. That's something that when you see that happen enough, this person knows their people. That's a kind of recognition that's hard to replace with anything else, right? So, I've seen these types of things happen, right? And so when you're out looking, yes, you want to know what all of the goals are and those type of things that we're flowing down through the organization. That's important, right? But you're also looking for the type of recognition that's given when people are walking around. As leaders, are we walking around just looking at numbers, just looking at those boards, right? Or are we looking at what's actually happening? When we're walking through a hospital, now, unfortunately, I've been able to spend some time in hospitals, not because I wanted to all the time, right? But I've had to be in there. And it's funny, once you kind of have this go and observe mentality, you can't help it. You know, you just can't help it. When you hear a buzzer go off, when you're calling for a nurse, what happens? What happens when they come in? What's the interaction? How does that happen? Who comes in? If they have boards, for example, that they fill out and they say, here's the nurse on duty. Here are the different things for this patient. You would expect to see certain things change as the shifts change, right? Do those change? Are they using them? Because if people aren't using the tools that are given to them, then you've got to wonder, well, why is it not useful? Is it not the right kind of tool? Should it be something different? And those are the types of questions we would ask, right? If we were out there really observing our own organization, say, I noticed you didn't do this, not in a punishment type of tone, right? But in a tone that I noticed you didn't use that. Is there something that could be better that we could do to better use the information that you need to get the job done? Is there something that's not there? We're always looking at the questions that people are asking, what they're actually doing during that time, and the what we call the peripheral view, you know, the things that are happening around, you know, because that's what puts it into context, right? If all of a sudden there's a big emergency that comes in, for example, into an ER, right? Well, then certain things are going to change quite quickly because there's context around that, right? There's an emergency happening. So certain things are going to change, right? So that's kind of that peripheral view that we always kind of have on when we're looking, right? But observing what's actually happening, what they're actually doing. One of the things Ken, my boss loves to talk about this, because Ritsuo would do this when he'd go into a facility. He would go in and he would look in trash cans next to, you know, where whatever it was, whatever the operation was, whatever the area was that we were walking, he'd look in it. He'd go, why are you looking in there? He goes, well, that's where a lot of waste gets put, you know, is there. And he would ask, oh, well, why does that go there? Or, you know, what makes it so that goes there? What happens after that, right? He was always asking questions, always looking and observing the things that people were actually doing. It's a study, right? It's a study that we do in our areas, and that so that we can really help change the way people are doing things so that we can build those systems that don't inhibit people from doing things, meaning they have to do a workaround to get around the system to actually get the work done right. But it actually helps them, because people, that's the one thing we've really learned, is that if the things we are doing do not make people's jobs easier, do not engage them to make their jobs easier, well, at the end of the day, why are you going to go after that? Why are you going to do that, right? It becomes difficult.
Well, Sean, I think that really helped me, because I have always been confused as to what to look for. And a lot of that depends on at what level you are in the organization. A CEO who's, let's say a CEO is going to watch a nurse put in an IV. Well, that CEO may not know anything about the actual process or the actual steps that nurse needs to go through to put that IV in, but he can look for the behaviors that he is trying to influence, you know, with the culture of the organization. Now, a head nurse who's going to the Gemba and watching that nurse put in an IV, she may have a totally different objective. She may be actually, okay, I want to make sure that this nurse is following these exact steps in the jib or the job instruction breakdown, and if they're not happening, why not? Is that accurate, or does that make sense?
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense. And that's, you know, that's one of those things we actually talk about heavily when we're training folks in the workshops. It's for example, what you just said, right? It makes a difference if that practitioner, what if they've only been there for 2 months? Well, you've got to know that, right? The only way to know that is to have some conversation with them, because you have different expectations if they've only been there for 2 months or if they've been there for 5 years, right? Mm-hmm. Well, now I've got totally different expectations, right? And so you are correct in that, you know, a CEO's Gemba will look different in different places, right? They'll be supporting a different way based on where they're at, right? Because you're right, they're not going to know exactly all of those, and they probably shouldn't, right? That's not their, that when you say where their work happens, yes, their work is happening there, but it's very different type mm-hmm. of work, right? They're mm-hmm. down there looking for different things. So you're exactly right. It's so relevant what their role is, where they're at. Now, when that same CEO is up maybe on the financial side of these, it's very different, right? They're looking very differently, because that's where some of their work actually happens in that. So yeah, absolutely. Very, very different depending on where we're at and who we're talking to.
So let's walk through an example that I know will be near and dear to HF, Dr. Mason's heart. You know, in healthcare, in all healthcare settings, at least in the United States, you know, infection rates are a very important thing that's monitored. It's a key performance indicator. And they even audit how often they observe people washing their hands. And if you go into most healthcare systems, you will see some form of a device on many rooms, inside the room, outside the room, in the hallways, you know, where people can easily access the disinfectants and the ability to wash their hands. And so let's just go with that example. If we were going and observing and we're watching doctors and nurses and different medical professionals either wash or not wash their hands, what else would you want to lean into? Because I know you have taught me and really emphasized to me how important it is to look for the systems that drive those behaviors, either behaviors we like or behaviors that we don't like. And the other thing that you've taught me is how to ask really good open-ended questions. So talk to me a little bit about that type of setting. Let's say we're going to a place, we're going and observing, and we're observing how often people wash or don't wash their hands. Talk to me about some of the things you would want to ask and know about the systems that are or are not driving those.
Right. Fantastic question, Skip. So, you know, this is similar to in a manufacturing situation where you might have safety glasses, right? Same type of thing, right? Different application, but it's the same thing, right? So, is everybody doing it? How do they do it? You know, when we go to meetings, right? Are we talking about those things? Right? Are we talking about those safety issues and keeping it front and center? Are we like, let's say we were to miss one. Let's say we were to miss one station. We were to go into, you know, someplace where you would need to wash your hands to go in. And let's say, especially if I were just observing and walking around, but they didn't make me do it. So the question becomes then, well, should I wash my hands too? And then you wait for the response, right? And see what the response is, right? Or if the, let's say the CEO's walking in and they should have their hands washed, right? We look for those type of things. Does everybody do it? Is the system strong enough that a nurse practitioner is going to ask the CEO to wash his hands if they didn't do it? Right? Because that's about intensity. One of the things we look at around behaviors is frequency, intensity, duration, scope, and role. Right? Who's doing it? Right? How frequent is it? Does it happen all the time? Is it intense? And that asking the CEO to do it, that's intensity, right? That's showing, oh my gosh, this is intense. It's like they are not going to let him in here unless he washes the hands, right? Unless he sanitizes. And duration, how long has that system been in place, right? Has that system been evolving, right? So as we all know, the systems we start with usually aren't the systems that we're running today or and likely shouldn't be, right? Because they evolve. We're evolving them around the different things in the environment that are happening, right? We had to evolve a lot of systems around the pandemic. Some of them stick with us today because they were good. And they worked, and we're going to keep them. And other ones we can kind of pull back on because we're not in that same situation, right? That same environment. So it's important that the systems that we have, we give them that flexibility to evolve, right? That's improving the systems, whether we're eliminating something or not. And while we're doing that, we're looking at those behaviors, right? We're saying, which behaviors do we need to eliminate? How are we going to do that? And which ones do we want to keep, right? Or make stronger, move closer to ideal. And by moving closer to ideal, that's what we talk about when we're talking about frequency, intensity, duration, scope, and role. Do we have it across the whole organization, right? Most organizations are not homogeneous when it comes to behavior, right? There's some level of, wow, it works really, really well over here. We need to do a little bit better over here. You know, and that's kind of how it works. We're always kind of moving a little bit through the organization, but ideally we want it through the entire organization, right? And that's what we're always trying to move toward with those systems, right? So that's a really, really great question, Skip. I think it's important that when we look at those systems and how they're driving those behaviors, we want to make sure that we're eliminating the ones we don't want, accentuating the ones we do want, and constantly tweaking them toward the ideal.
You know, it's so interesting. You mentioned, you know, the safety glasses and the hand sanitizer and hand hygiene. And I would imagine in almost every hospital, there are hand alcohol dispensers within reach, and you still so it can't be, well, I didn't do it because now sometimes the dispenser may be empty, but most of the time no, it's just the culture. I mean that the culture has not been set high enough or developed enough to encourage those behaviors. And you know, you talk about, you know, the CEO not putting on, not washing his hands. Well, if you have a just culture, you know, and you're emphasizing that, anybody's going to feel empowered to, hey,
That's right.
You know, Skip, hey, Dr. Mason, I noticed you didn't wash your hands. Would you mind doing it without fear of being yelled at?
Yeah, not only without fear, but with probably recognition on good job.
Sure.
Good for doing that, right? Extra recognition for doing that. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, in that same example, I know we're kind of continuing to push on this issue, but the thing I've learned so much from you, Sean, is we talk about culture sometimes, and sometimes we don't put enough meat on the bones, I like to say. But you all always also ask, can you tell me about the systems? In other words, what are the systems? You know, systems are a combination of these interdependent tools that are working right together. But what are the systems that are specifically having everyone I observe, or at least the majority of everyone I observe, wash their hands? You know, because I think when we don't go to that level of thinking about the systems that are driving the behavior, sometimes we tend to get vague. And as a friend of mine says, when you're vague about everything, you're always happy with whatever you get. Well, we want to know specifically, what are the systems that are driving these behaviors that I'm observing, that it doesn't matter if it's the CEO or if it's a renowned surgeon or whether it's the brand new nurse that just started last week, these systems. Am I thinking about that right, Sean?
No, absolutely. And Dr. Mason just gave a good example of, you know, having these alcohol dispensers everywhere, right? And this is when you say it's vague, to me, what that means is we've got the tools nailed, meaning we've got the alcohol dispensers all around, but why isn't everybody using them? So we've got all the tools there, but we haven't developed that system. So when you see these types of things happening, like the one versus the other, right? People washing their hands at everyone versus a place where they're not. The question always becomes, so why do you do that? What is it that tells you to do that? Because you could just have a person that's acting at a very ideal level, right? Their behavior is at a very ideal level, right? You want to know, is it just the person or is there something driving it, right? Is there something that we're doing that's driving it? Is there, and commonly when it's a system, remember, there's going to be a lot of different tools connected, like you said, Skip, right? So we're not only going to have the alcohol dispensers, we've got to have the recognition connected to that. We have to have some way to measure that. How do we measure that, right? Systems got to have a way of measuring, right? We have to have a way to measure that system. So the questions become around like what you were talking about, Skip, like why do you do that? Is there something that's triggering you to do that, right? What triggers you to do that? Systems have triggers, right? And they trigger you to do certain behaviors, right? What's triggering you to do that? What happens if you don't do it, right? That's the other thing we do to test systems, right? How do you, can the system be broken, right? Can you intentionally try to do that and see, and if it can be, then how do we fix it so that it can't be, right? So that we make it more difficult. But you're absolutely right, Skip, in yes, we ask those questions. You know, what triggers it? How often does it do it? Why does it do it? And commonly that understanding of why behind it is a big piece. Right. Understanding the objective, the goal of the system. Right. And how that's communicated within that system. And obviously, you know, when we're talking in the medical field, cleanliness is, of course, key. Right. To those infections and that. And so making that the way I talk about the purpose, whether it's a system or the purpose of the organization, is how do I connect people emotionally to that purpose, right? How do I connect it emotionally? Well, when I had my elderly father in the hospital, and that, to me, washing my hands and all that was keeping him safe too, right? It's an emotional connection to your loved ones and that about keeping them safe. And the stronger we can make that connection, the stronger we can make it emotionally, the better off we are at being able to continually drive toward that goal of that system. But yes, it is. It's important to not be vague, to not only have the tools, right, to be specific about how are those tools designed into that system, right? Why do we have an alcohol or a hand sanitizer right next to the room before we go in, but we also have one right back by the nurse's station, and we also have one right on the door as we come in? Why are they right there? Why are those tools there? It's important that people know why the tools are where they are and how they're intended to be used within the system, right? And that. So yeah, great question, Skip.
Sean, this was great talking today. You know, I remember hearing one time someone asked Mr. Shingo about why the go and observe was so important. And I loved his answer. It was so simplistic, but so profound in that he said, both the problem and the answers to the problem are there at the Gemba.
That's right.
And I know that many, many good leaders with good intentions, sometimes they're working on activities in a conference room, in a meeting room, away from where the real work actually happens. It's almost become comical in my 31 years that I'll hear people working on really important work, and I'll say, have you talked to the real people that do the work on the front lines? Well, we haven't gotten a chance to do that yet. But that's where the problem is, and that's where the answers are. And many times that area has changed over time. It's not like it was when I worked on the front lines. It's evolved. And so I don't really know what reality is until I spend time on that front line.
Yeah. And it's you can't move something. If you can't move a system in the right direction, if you don't know where you're currently at. Right.
That's
because
right.
You've got to know what the current reality is. And it's not always what it's commonly not what you want, right? It's not always pretty, right? But by understanding the reality, it gives us the ability to move in more quickly in the direction that we need to go. And you're absolutely right. It's those folks that have all the facts down at the Gemba, you know, where things are happening, and They just have to be involved, and it's so critical to the success of any system that you're building, right?
Well, Sean, thank you so much, my friend, for coming on Connecting the Dots podcast today and just sharing some of your pearls of wisdom with us. And for all of our listeners, please go out to the Shingo Institute. Check out some wonderful free material. You can see the model. You can see just a tremendous amount of information. You can see the six different workshops that are offered, whether they be virtual or in person or hybrid. So I want to just encourage all of our listeners to go. And just on behalf of Baptist Memorial Healthcare, Sean, thank you so much for the work that you do. And thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
Oh, of course, Skip. No problem. And Dr. Mason, great meeting you. Always
you too.
A pleasure to share. So we're happy to do that.
Thank you, Sean.